somebody's neck and you can be seated this morning. Man, good to see y'all today. Good to come. Y'all got a full house. Y'all filled her up today. So good for y'all. Yeah, yeah. So welcome, man. We are glad that you're here. What's up? You whispering sweet nothings in my ear in front of everyone. Nice Top Gun outfit you're wearing there, Tubby. Woo! Let's pray and church will be dismissed. Most preachers wouldn't say that to you, but I'll tell you the truth. Man, we're glad to be here today. It's exciting, always fun to come hang out with you guys. We are in week number 3 of our Home Sweet Home series, where we're learning the importance. We're going back. We're understanding the importance of what happens in our homes. And so I just believe this, that our homes, that having a home sweet home, having a home that's not perfect, but a home where love resides, a home where the Spirit of God resides, a home where when your children are struggling with the struggles and temptations of this world, a home where they want to come to find a foundation, a home where they come to find security, it should be our goal in life. Do you know more important than our career and more important than the money that we can make or the business that we can build or the churches that we can build, more important than the number of people that we can preach to? Do you know what should be most important to you and I? That we have a home, sweet home, where God is the center of that home. It's the most important thing. It is. Today, I was going to tell you real quick. I'm going to brag for a minute. Can I brag for a minute? I'm wearing this cap that Jesse bought me today. And this says GOAT on it, greatest of all times. And Jesse, my youngest son, gave it to me. And you know what? That's a check mark in the victory column in my life if my son thinks I'm the greatest of all times. So I'm thankful for my home sweet home. Today we're going to read some scripture and we're going to talk about how it's God's plan that we have a home sweet home. It's God's plan, the home. We're going to read in Deuteronomy chapter number 1. So if you got your Bible, you got your phone, your iPad, however you read the Word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 6. I said 1. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. I'll read it aloud and then we'll pray and unpack this and see what the Lord would say to us and challenge us with today. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse number 1. Moses is doing the writing here, the great leader of the Old Testament. Moses says, "Now this is the commandment, this is the statutes, and this is the rules which the Lord your God commanded me to teach you." Let's pause for a moment. I want to tell you something right quick. We live in a world. We live in a wishy-washy world. We live in an up and a down world. But I'm going to tell you what. And in our world, our government has rules. In our world, our school system has rules. In our world, we have created our own rules and our own commandments. And can I tell you, if we're going to be born again believers and we're going to trust the Bible, the written word of God, it's God's rules and it's God's statutes and it's God commandments that matter in our lives. And to some people, they say that's old-fashioned. To some people say that's a long time ago. They say those rules don't matter. I say you've bought the lie of the enemy that my God is an everlasting God, and he is still a present God, and he is still on the throne, and his way is still perfect. And if we want to live in the blessings of God, we got to follow his rules and his commandments. Moses said, I'm teaching you. You know what the job? Moses is the leader. Moses is the pastor of the nation of Israel. And yes, pastors should be loving. And yes, pastors should be kind. And yes, pastors should call you back. And yes, pastors should make all the hospital visits. And they should do all of those things. But you know what the number one rule of a preacher, the number one rule of a pastor, the number one leader, the number one thing of a leader in the kingdom of God is to teach people the truth of the Word of God. Moses said, I'm going to teach you the commandments of God so that you can do them in the land that you're going over to possess. Verse 2 says, that you may fear the Lord your God, that your sons and your sons' sons, by learning to keep the statutes and commandments which I command you all the days of their life, that their days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them that it may go well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is, the Lord is one. And you shall love him with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And these words which I command you this day should be on your heart. And then you should teach them as I teach you. Then you should teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Speak to us about your commandments. Speak to us about our home sweet home. Speak to us about our responsibilities as leaders, as parents, as grandparents. Speak to us in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, the first thing I want you to see right here is Moses, this great leader. He's leading the Israelites out of bondage, and he's saying to them, I'm going to teach you the commandments of God. And he says, these commandments of God are not just for you. They're not just for your generation. They're for your sons, and they're for your sons' sons. What I want you to see is Moses is dealing with a multi-generational thing. A multi-generational thing. How many of you know that your life and your choices and your decisions and your convictions, they don't just affect you, but they affect the next generation. And the next generation and the next generation. Moses, his life was changed by the calling of God. And not only was Moses' life changed, the next generation was changed. And the next generation was changed. It was an ongoing thing that we're raising up generations that would serve and honor God. Moses' life was changed by the call of God. Now, I would encourage you this week, if you need some reading time and you don't know the history of this man named Moses, you can just Google it or look or go to the Old Testament and you can study about Moses. Moses, according to God, was one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament. But right now, and we see Moses, we see him at a messed up place in his life. We see Moses. Moses is living a lonely life. Moses is living on the backside of the desert. He is running from his previous life, and he's running from the mistakes that he made in his life. Moses is a man that has a speech impediment. Moses is a man that has a temper. Moses had some self-doubt, and he had zero self-confidence. Moses made some mistakes, and he ran to the backside of the desert. You know what he's doing on the backside of the desert? He's working for his father-in-law, and he is tending sheep. His life is really of no significance. He is running, and he is hiding. But much like that song that Connor just sang to us, Moses was on the backside of the desert in a dark place, but God chose to see the potential in Moses, and God went to where Moses was, and God called Moses out of a lonely, dark life, and he called him to a new life in Christ Jesus. God went and found him and called him from the backside of the desert. Why did God go to the backside of the desert to love and to call one jacked up, fouled up, tongue-tied, murdering, weak-hearted sissy who was running from his past? Why did God go to the backside of the desert to reach someone like that? Because God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God chooses the sorry things of this world to raise them up and to pick them up out of the miry clay and to set their feet on the rock to stay so that God would get the glory out of it. God went to Moses and he called him out of the darkness. At this moment, it's not just about Moses. Can I tell you something? Look at me right quick. I'm going to say it again. I said it already, but I'll say it again. Life is not just about you. Life is not just about me. It's not about your preferences. It's not about what you want. It's not about what you think. God went to Moses, to one man, because listen to me, when God gets ready to bring revival and when God gets ready to deliver or heal or set a people group free, when God gets ready to do something miraculous, he will always start with one person. And he started with Moses and what God did in Moses. And because Moses said yes, the entire nation of Israel, their future was changed. Their destiny was changed. And what God is wanting to do in you will change generations in your family name. It's not just about you and it's not just about me. Moses said yes and many people's lives were changed. Moses simply said yes to a new way. He said yes to doing something differently. Moses said yes to doing something that maybe wasn't the most popular thing. Moses said yes to the ways of God, and he took serious the calling of God. Can I challenge you with something today? God's doing the same thing with you. God is doing the same thing with you and me. Many of us are like Moses. We're in a dark place. We're in a lonely place. We're running from our past. We're running from the truth. Moses was on the backside of the desert, and God showed up, and God said, Moses. And Moses heard the voice of God, and he said, yes, and everything was changed. Can I tell you, God is calling you today. God is calling you. God is calling you to do something different. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how long you've been serving God. God always is a God of newness, and God always wants to take us to the next level, and God is calling you and me today. Out of our past, out of our darkness, out of our insecurities, calling us to make some adjustments in the way that we parent, calling us to make some adjustments in the way that we live our life, calling us to do something that would not only affect our future, but affect the future generations. Let's be really honest. Can we be really, really honest in here today? Most of you here today, God's calling you. God's calling you right now. God's calling you to something different. God's calling you to deny yourself. God's calling you to do something that may be a struggle, that may be unpopular. God is calling. God is always speaking. God is always moving. He's asking us to do something different. And here's the deal. You hear his voice and you feel his nudges in your life, the nudging of his Holy Spirit. But the biggest majority of us, if we're telling the truth, we're just like Moses in the beginning. You know what we do? We are refusing to do what God is asking us to do. And we're making a long list of excuses of I'm not good enough and I can't do this and I don't matter and I'm weak in this area. Some of us are fearful of doing something different. Some of us are fearful of being unpopular. We're stubborn. Some of us have no hope of a change in our life or in the next generations. Most of us are hearing God say something to us. And like Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 35:15, the prophet said, I've sent my servants. I've sent my people. You've sat in church and listened to Cody preach. You've went to Sweetwater and listened to Carter preach. You've went to Stanford and listened to Riley preach. You've listened to T.D. Jakes preach. You've listened to Vody Balcom preach. You can hear all the podcasts and you can do all the stuff. But the prophet said, I have sent people to preach to you and you still are sitting in your stubborn place refusing to do anything different and hear what the voice of God is saying. Many of us are just sitting stuck in the mud. Anybody got enough courage to say amen and say, that's good, Cody? God's calling us to affect us and our homes. Today, here's my challenge for you. It's time for you and I to own our calling and own our responsibility that God has placed on our life and step up and be the man or the woman or the leader that God has called us to be to create a home sweet home. Because you're a chosen generation, according to 1 Peter 2:9. You're a chosen generation. Riley, you are chosen to change the generation. Stanley, you are chosen to change the generation. Seth, chosen, change it. You're chosen. You are chosen, Corey. You're chosen to change it, Glenn Oglesfield, to change the generations and raise your family up to a new level and bring back the power of God in our lives. It starts with one. Moses, he's at the backside of the desert. He hears the call of God. He steps up and he accepts this responsibility to lead an entire nation, lead them out of bondage into the promised land. And Moses said, here's how it's going to last. It's not about you, not just about revival, not just about one moment where you feel the Spirit of God and you're in church. Here's how it's going to change generations. Moses said, I'm going to teach you, and then you got to teach your kids. 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 You got to teach your grandkids. You got to teach your nieces. You got to teach your nephews. We got to teach our own. Teach our own. See, here's the deal. There's always, when we teach, when we're obedient to the word of God, how many know there's always a blessing attached to being obedient to God? Always. And let's take you back just for a moment. The scripture says, I'll teach you. And if you'll obey the commandments and teach the commandments to your children, he said, you know what? Your life will be long. you live a long life. It says you'll multiply. There'll be many Cochran's from now on. For some of y'all, that's a nightmare. For me, it's a dream come true. You'll live a long life. You'll be multiplied if you're obedient and teach this to the next generations. And then it says, you'll go into the land flowing with milk and honey. You'll live a life of blessing under the hand of Almighty God. But here's where he says, and here's where we're going to focus for the rest of the service today. We got to teach it to our own kids. And in my opinion, in America, we have failed at teaching our own children the commandments of God. In my opinion, in the church of Jesus Christ, we have failed at teaching and training our own children and the own ones in our own home. Think about what you teach your kids. Think about your kids, your grandkids, what you taught them. Now, you, Jesse, where are you at, boy? You better say yes, sir, and you better say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. You better shake hands. You better say, did you say thank you? Jesse, did you thank them for doing what you did? Jesse, get your butt up here to look them in the eye. And when you shake hands, Jesse, by God, you better squeeze hard too like a man. That's what we do. We work so hard to teach our children manners. And manners are a good thing. But more than manners and greater than manners are the commandments and the words and the rules and the statutes of God. We teach our kids to play basketball. We teach our kids to rope. We teach our kids to rope. Robot kids, would you will? When Will wanted to rope, we rope the dummy. We rope the dummy over and over again. Son, you got to turn your wrist over. You can't be doing this kind of deal. You can't feed it too much. All these rules. Will, fine, rope the dummy. You teach them these things. Jennifer teaching Clara to play the fiddle, to play the piano. We teach our kids so many things. But how long has it been, mom and dad? How long has it been, grandmother and granddad, since you really seriously taught and trained your children about the commandments and the ways of God? Let me give you an example. Think about for a moment what our children and the younger generation are being taught outside of our homes nowadays. Think about what they're being taught by government. Think about what they're being taught by culture. Think about what they're learning in the education system. Think about what they are learning outside of our homes. You see, we've bought the lie in America that, you know what, it's not our job to teach and train our own. We'll just send them to school or church or the government and let them teach our children. Where has that gotten our nation? Where has that gotten our nation? Now, I think we got to learn to teach and train at home. Now, you know what? We homeschooled our kids. I make zero mistakes about that. And I am not pushing homeschool. I make zero mistakes, zero apologies about this. I think homeschool is the best way to raise your children. I really do. Because when you do that, you know what? You can monitor what they learn. You get to decide what kind of curriculum they listen to. You are not letting someone and some teacher that you do not know how they believe or what they teach. You're not letting someone else teach them. You're not letting a curriculum writer from Washington send down and teach that. You are teaching and training your own. I think it's the best way. I'm not saying it's the only way. I'm saying I think it is the best way. I think, let me make this statement right here. Homeschooling is an option, but home education is not an option. Can I say it again? Homeschooling is an option, but home education is not an option. You and I must educate our children at home according to the Word of God. Because there's a huge gap. How many would agree with me? There's a huge gap in what the world and government and the school system is teaching our children and what the Word of God would teach the children. Huge gap. We got to talk about it. It's real. It's the absolute truth. How many of you know that gap has not always been so broad? Now, y'all are old. Most of y'all look old like me. Most of y'all look older than me. How many of you remember going to school? How many remember going to school and somewhere in your school there were the Ten Commandments hanging on the walls of your school? How many of you remember when you were going to school and your teacher would say a prayer at the opening of the day because she knew you was a godless heathen and she knew she needed God's help? How many of you remember going to school and somewhere in your school there was an American flag and you stood with reverence and put your hand over your heart and you pledged of allegiance to the United States of America, to one nation under God, and everyone knew that that was God Almighty, the Jehovah, the Creator. It was God Himself. We had the luxury of being taught those kinds of things in our schools, and nowadays you can't pray, you can't put the Ten Commandments up, and you can't call our nation one nation under God without triggering folk. So if we're not teaching and training at home, they're not getting it anywhere else. They're not getting it anywhere else. Now listen. I'm not running down school teachers. I'm going to say this because we got a lot of them here. And I love our public school workers, and they work hard, and they're loving, and they're caring, and they want the best for their kids, and they want the best for others' kids. We should applaud them. We should hug their neck. We should thank them. They're in a jacked up, messed up system. I am also not saying that if you send your children to public schools, you will raise up godless heathens who become devil worshipers. Not saying that. I'm simply saying that we have to get back to prioritizing, teaching, and training our own children in our own home sweet homes. Teaching and training our own children. I'm trying my best. I ain't the best teacher, but I'm trying my best, like Moses, to teach you today. Now you need to take it home and teach your children and your grandchildren and your family. I guarantee you, if you'll do it, you'll be filled with joy. And for you grandparents, I guarantee you, grandparents, y'all are so sweet and soft and sensitive anyway. I guarantee you, if you teach your children and then you watch your children teach your grandchildren to live in the Word of God, it will bring a joy to your life like you can't imagine. So, Cody, tell me. I'm ready. I get it. Not done good. Where do I start? We're going to start with the Ten Commandments. I said this last Sunday, and I'm going to say it again today. It's the Ten Commandments. It's the top ten. It's the big ten. It's the ten that matter. It's the ten that Moses went up on top of the mountain and the finger of God wrote these Ten Commandments out. That are taken out of our government, that are taken out of our school system, that are often taken out of our churches. Those Ten Commandments that God has taught us and we should teach our children. Here's the struggle. Do you know the Ten Commandments? If I called you out today, could you stand up and tell me the Ten Commandments of God? We've taken them out. We don't even know them. Most of us don't. Something blessed me so much last week. Last week, I talked about the Ten Commandments in our homes. Jennifer and I got home that afternoon, and we got a group text message from a young lady that's in our life. She lives in the Metroplex. She's come from a divorced family. They've been divorced a long time. She's living with her mother. It's just not a priority to honor God in her home. And I'm not talking bad about them. I'm just telling you, they don't really make church. They don't really make God a big priority. But she's been coming down here and she's been coming to church and the Lord is stirring in her. And we got a text message and it was a picture of her Bible that was opened up to the Old Testament where the Ten Commandments are listed. It was her journal that she had opened up and she had handwritten out all Ten Commandments. And she said, I just watched the live feed of Bethel. And I'm going to start right now learning the Ten Commandments in my life. Wow! I don't care. Oh, I got 10 more minutes. Can I preach to y'all? I don't care how good you are. I don't care how cool you are. I don't care how far the Lord has brought you from or what denomination that you come from. I don't care how many scriptures you can quote or how long you can pray in tongues, how spiritual you are. Do you know the Ten Commandments? And are you living according to the Ten Commandments? And are we teaching them to the next generation? Because how many of you believe this? Are you listening to me? Can I hear you say a good amen? How many of you believe our nation and our world and our homes would be better if we simply follow the Ten Commandments? Change culture. Change the world. I'll tell you what we've done here at Bethel. We've tried to make it fun for you. When you came in today, you should have got a sticker. We love stickers. We love merch. This sticker is kind of just a cool way. It's got the Ten Commandments on it. So you know what we're going to challenge you to do for this next week? Put it on your phone. Fits perfectly on the back of your phone unless you have an iPhone 3. Jennifer has an iPhone 3. This is a little big for her phone. I had to teach her this last week to copy and paste one more time. Bless her heart. She's a homeschool mom. She's good on the commandments. She's a little slow on technology, just saying. Ten commandments. Put it on your phone. Put it in your truck. Put it in your Bible. Put it, stamp it on your table where you wake up in the morning. Let's start talking about the commandments of God. Let's start teaching our children what they are. Let's start teaching our kid that worship only one God. Don't worship money. Don't worship your career. Don't worship your reputation. Worship God. Keep the Sabbath. Praise God, you're here on Sunday. You need to take Sunday off and relax and make that the Lord's day. No idols. Honor your parents. Parents, say a good amen. Children, honor your parents. Honor your parents. Respect God's name. Don't. God's last name is not damn it. Let me just tell you that, okay? So don't say that. It's horrible. I hate it when somebody says that. God blesses. God doesn't damn. Don't murder. If you have hate in your heart, the New Testament says you've already committed murder in your heart. Don't hate. Don't murder. Don't murder babies in the womb or out of the womb. Come on, somebody. No adultery. Can I tell you something right quick? Can I just be real with y'all? Stop. Stop with the adultery. Stop with the extramarital sex. Stop making excuses. The only way we can have sex is within the confines of the covenant of marriage between one man and one woman. How many know that would change our nation? No adultery. No stealing. Don't falsely accuse. Quit talking smack about everybody else. Quit being jealous. Don't be coveting what somebody else has got. Ten Commandments, man. Practice them this week. Teach them diligently to your children. People say this right quick. Make it fun. Can I say this to y'all? Look at me. Look. Make it fun. Do not go, children, get your Ten Commandments sticker out that we received at the Bethel Assembly on Sunday morning. We're going to sit down and we're going to discuss the commands of God. Like people say, it's awkward talking to my family about my faith. You know why it's awkward? Because you're awkward. You talk to them about everything else. You say, hey, man, Cody set me up good. Y'all, come on. Let's eat a bowl of this cereal in here. You want some Fruit Loops this morning? Come on, girl. Sit down. Let me tell you about Ten Commandments. Let's talk about them right quick. You know what you ought to do? Bribe your children. Give them $20 if they'll learn the commandments of God. It don't matter. No shame in my game. Hey, let me just tell you right quick. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to have a stack of $5 bills about that big. If your kid can get up here and say the Ten Commandments, I'll give them $5. Make it fun. Don't make it awkward. Talk to them about it. We're going to talk in weeks to come about how to just make home sweet home about the Lord and about talking about Scripture and to talk about the commands of God. Just overcome awkward. For now, have fun with this. But listen to me. Have fun with it. Look at me. Take teaching and training your children seriously. Take it seriously. Because ultimately, we're going to answer for the way that we raised our children. Teach and train the truth of the Word of God. How many of you know we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free? God is calling you and me out of the normal and calling us to do something different. Say yes to Him. How many of you will say yes to Him today? Conrad, come help me close. I know you're good. I know you're good right now. Some of you, you're like Moses and me. You're on the backside of there. But some of you, well, you're good today because praise God, you've been serving God and you know Scripture and you're spiritual and all that. But God is still calling you super spiritual folk to another level as well. And the self-righteous who got, God's still calling us all to another place. Will we say yes to Him? I would say this to you. Be the one that causes a real deal, authentic, multi-generational revival that will start in your life that will affect your children's children's children. Y'all stand on your feet. Father, we just love you and we thank you for today. We thank you for life and for loving us. And thank you, Lord, how you've changed us and how you've just picked us up out of the miry clay, how you've came to where we were, just like Moses. You came to us anyway, and you changed us. Lord, let us feel the weight and the heaviness and the responsibility that we have today of being called by you. It's not about us. Lord, let us lay down our lives. Let us repent of our laziness. Let us repent of trusting someone else to raise our children. Let us repent today and say, you know what? I'll be a modern-day Moses to my family and to the generations around me, and I'll teach commandments and the statutes and the rules of God in my home. And Lord, we trust you to do what you said you'd do. We trust you for long life, for multiplication, and for land flowing with milk and honey. Speak to us today and challenge us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's close with a song of worship.